with those seven sizes, the way the walls assemble is they have internal cam locks. And so you basically are locking the walls together. I literally heard a voice, and I believe it was God's voice, and I heard him say, I want you to build a wall that looks like a real wall but can come apart. I came home that night. I didn't tell my wife because I just was ruminating on it and thinking, like, am I crazy? And I remember I woke up the next morning and I walked into the room.
Well, that phrase makes me a little nervous for you.
He said, has Walmart reached out to you? And I said, no. And he said, I just feel very strongly that they need your products.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. Today's guest is John Fay, founder and CEO of Lotta Build, based in Grand Junction. Lotta Build has developed what John called the productization of construction, even different from modular home building. We've talked about that before on ProCo 360. Lotta Build has created pre-engineered walls it calls cassettes that have been described as coming together like Legos. We'll talk about how that works, and I was eager to meet John because it's fun to feature companies and entrepreneurs from the Western Slope, and John and Lotta Build are based in Grand Junction. So, John, glad we're connecting on ProCo 360.
Yeah, Dave, pleased to be on your podcast. I really appreciate it, and excited to get to share more about what we're doing over the Western Slope.
I was serious when I said I'm glad that we're talking because you are on the Western Slope. And, you know, I get around Colorado. And so for me, though, featuring companies like from Grand Junction, it's really fun. So anyway, do a better job than I did of explaining, describing Lotta Build and this whole concept.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you did a great job. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, our goal as a company is really to kind of invent the building blocks of the future, you know, understanding, you know, what those blocks need to look like, you know, to alleviate costs and sustainability for reusability. And then also just on labor constraints. And so really trying to, one of our mottos is, you know, free the world to build, and really trying to create these platforms. So we affectionately call ourselves the 2x4 of the future. So really looking at the paradigms and the products in a way that they're user-friendly, and they really start to change, you know, the usability and the cost structure of how we build moving forward.
Is there actually, like, aside from being a better way, is there a painful problem that you're solving?
Yeah. So if you look at construction historically, especially in the 21st century, some of the things that we're seeing are construction's lagging so far behind from a technological revolution standpoint. So you look at other products like computers, electronics, you know, phones. These other categories, fintech, you know, we've seen tremendous growth and efficiencies and reductions of costs, you know, primarily around, you know, how these products have come into the 21st century and created new solutions.
Yeah, construction hasn't changed all that much.
Yeah, it hasn't. You know, it's lagging behind. They say it's one of, McKinsey has tons of reports talking about how it's one of the largest sectors, you know, it's like a $13 trillion sector that really hasn't had a lot of, you know, technological revolution and the efficiencies and the costs. And so what you see, especially since COVID, is the cost to construct has gone up 20% year over year. So it's really an unsustainable model. And then adversely, when you look at the side of actually building things, you see projects that are continually going over costs, you know, through change orders or just time and delay.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing, you know, we're approaching almost a million person shortage of skilled laborers in the United States. And so it's like this perfect storm where something's got to give to kind of change the model.
And yeah. So how is, I mean, modular housing has been, and factory built housing has been really sort of in the news a lot. It's been growing. There are factories in Colorado now for building homes. What's the difference between what you're doing at Lotta Cube and what these factories are doing as they build houses?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, you have different categories of modularity. Probably one of the most common and that people are most familiar with is volumetric.
What's that mean?
So yeah, volumetric is similar to basically building a block inside of a factory. So you had the Fading West crew on. I know I looked at some of your previous
episodes. That's right.
Mm-hmm. they've done such a great job, you know, creating these efficiencies in their factories to then reduce the costs to bring products to the table that really allow, you know, the common homeowner to be able to afford housing.
And basically, just so everybody knows what Fading West did, and you can go back and listen to that episode, but they're basically building a home inside of their factory and bringing it on a flatbed and setting it on a foundation. So the idea is gaining efficiency in it by building in a factory, predictability, cost containment, so forth. Right. So Lada.
Yes. One of the things about, you know, the way that those units are built, some of the efficiencies that we see that are missing are building in a digital platform. And so if you were to go to Home Depot today, right, and you were trying to pick out some 2x4s to build some structure, you'd have an incredible hard time finding straight boards, consistent product. Right. And so we really see construction from more of a productization standpoint. And we see those volumetric guys, you know, eventually using our products to build out their volumetric modules. And the benefit in it is we call it productization. So you're able to take a set product that's standard and you'll be able to take, so like, for example, with our product, we have 7 sizes of wall panel cassettes. But the irony in the product is you can build virtually any floor plan using just those 7 products. And so you're not relying on heavy customization, highly skilled labor, because it's a digital product.
So hold on, let me interrupt you there because, okay, so you got 7 size, you're calling them cassettes, but let's paint the picture. If I'm going to make are you actually making houses out of Lada Build?
Yeah, so we have partners.
Well, hold on, wait, don't jump in there yet. So you can actually build a house out of it, right? Is that what you're saying? Yes?
Correct.
Okay, so using your cassettes, I can decide by putting cassettes pieces, walls, essentially, can I decide how my house is structured and put walls basically where I want them using your technology?
Yeah. So with those 7 sizes, the way the walls assemble is they have internal cam locks. And so you basically are locking the walls together. And yes, you can build virtually any floor plan. And we've been able to pump in a lot of different floor plans into the system and that were random floor plans. Huh. And we're able to get on average 93% to 97% compatibility with the original design intent.
Wow. So that's kind of like, what's that store where you go and everything you put together by yourself uses cam locks?
IKEA.
Yeah. This is like IKEA houses?
And well, in some ways. I mean, you know, they're
you don't have robust. To agree with me, John. You don't have to.
Our cassettes are 3 times stronger than a stick-built structure.
Really?
Yep. So, and the other thing is these cams are like bomb-proof. They're not like your IKEA cams. And I love IKEA and they serve a great market and they have good products for that market. But yeah, you know, similar concepts and crossovers to IKEA and Allego. And
so, yeah, trying to get my head around this. So then, okay, so if I want a certain configuration, you guys can help me design it with software and so forth. And walls go here, blah, blah, blah. They get locked in place. What do you do then? Run wires and, electrical and plumbing through whatever it is that you've now constructed?
Yeah, so the cassettes are designed in a way that you can still interface with traditional contractors or, you know, the traditional labor and materials. So we didn't want to totally alienate ourselves from what the market currently offers. And so we do have a plug-and-play electrical system. So you actually can do 90%+ of electrical without an electrician.
Wow.
And then you can also bring in traditional electrical as well, you know, J-boxes, you know, switches, whatever. Outlets and wire traditionally. So the cassettes are designed in a way that the interface can happen either way.
That's cool. All right. I want to back up some. And like, if I understand your background, you were like a real estate developer, commercial real estate. And are you actually an ex-high school counselor?
Yeah. So I have 0 experience in engineering, architecture, or real estate. So I actually went to Colorado State University and got my undergrad in history and then went to Adams State College in Alamosa, Colorado, and got my master's in counseling psychology and spent years as a school counselor, as child welfare caseworker, foster care coordinator, mental health counselor in a hospital. So that was most of my career throughout, my early years.
As the story goes, because I read it, you figured this out in your garage, and what stimulated the idea that you should even create something?
Yeah, so I had never looked at commercial real estate before. My wife at the time had a music school, and we were kind of thinking about, how could she get more exposure? And I thought, well, maybe we should go into commercial real estate, you know, location. So that's probably where that piece comes in. And, you know, figure out if we should have a spot where we can get more exposure. And so my wife has this amazing degree from Manhattan School of Music and concert piano performance. And we're like, what do you do with that degree? And so we
learned. Same thing you do with a history degree.
I know, right? You get creative. Yeah, especially if you have a history degree. Unbeknownst to me, I went out and looked at real estate, 5 properties here in Grand Junction, and walked away, honestly, like incredibly frustrated at the process, and was just kind of crying out to God and saying, God, what is this? This is so frustrating to me. And some of those frustrations were, you know, putting all this money into the space I didn't own, you know, and feeling like I didn't have any leverage. And then also just the waste, you know, someone coming in after me and tearing everything apart and throwing it away. And I simply was frustrated and crying out. And I literally heard a voice, and I believe it was God's voice. And I heard him say, I want you to build a wall that looks like a real wall, but can come apart. And I was honestly pretty freaked out by that. And I was paralyzed by the idea for 2 years.
Wow. So, 2 years? 2 years were what? It just sat in your head?
It did. And I kept trying to hand it off to people. I said, to my friends, you build stuff. You should do this, you know? And, no one ever took me up on that offer. And, you know, so that whole experience really happened in 2010. And then in 2012, you know, my wife was basically kind of prodded me and said, hey, like, you need to do what you feel like God showed you to do. And, so I did end up hiring someone. It didn't go so great. And then I praying again. I was like, I feel like I wasted a bunch of time and money. And so ultimately just felt like I heard the Lord say, you need to build it. And I started making stuff in my garage in 2014. So,
and you were, were you fabricating out of metal at the time?
Well, kind of. I mean, it was mostly,
these cassettes are metal, right? They're all steel. Yeah.
Yep. So, and we're working on a wood version as well. But, back then I was just using 2x4s and putting cam locks that I made into them and, you know, filling them with foam, kind of like a SIP, like a structurally insulated panel. And those were some of my early prototypes. And then eventually, you know, kind of had this encounter in California and met an engineer that really started taking these ideas in my head and kind of formulating them into actual products.
What was that encounter?
Yeah. You know, I was in a business group, CEO, like business group in Redding, California. So we had moved there in 2018, and through that ended up having an encounter with a gentleman who said, you know, hey, I want to learn more about your company. And through the sharing of that, you know, he was a gifted mechanical engineer, and through that was able to take everything in my head and actually, you know, design it into an actual product.
Well, what were you doing in a CEO group? Weren't you a high school counselor then?
Oh, I wasn't by then. I think my last year of school counseling was 2010. And I really dove into helping my wife with her business and then learning about business and then just had this passion for business and then ended up starting Lotta Cube at the time, which is now Lotta Build.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, listeners, when you check out Lotta Build, what's that little thingy over the A? That little circle over the A?
It's an umla. My wife has Scandinavian roots, you know, our ancestry, I guess. I just loved, I still love modern Scandinavian architecture. And so when I was trying to think of what I would call
back
my business.
Kia then, right? I mean, not Kia, IKEA, right? Yeah.
IKEA, yes. Yeah. Yep. And so, it's actually Lauda is the correct pronunciation, but we call it Lotta Cube. But it means box or barn.
All right. So when you started making these things, it sounds like a divine calling for you, seriously, to start building walls that could be interconnected. Was it basically you're just going to build it? I mean, it almost sounds like Noah's Ark, but it's like you gotta build this thing. But was there any vision for what you were going to do with it?
Well, I didn't know at first. So when I first had that premonition or vision, a voice. I remember I came home that night. I didn't tell my wife because I just was ruminating on it and thinking like, am I crazy? And I remember I woke up the next morning and I walked into the room and I told her, I said, hey, I feel like God showed me how to build walls differently. And I didn't even know why I said this at the time, but I said, and I think I'm going to do projects for Tesla someday. And this was 2010. And she kind of looked at me sideways and like I was crazy. And she goes, but you don't build stuff. And I said, yes, it's true. And she kind of jokingly said, okay, Noah, you know, like Noah's art. And so there you go, right?
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, I don't know if it was just like getting those words out of my mouth that really kind of set things in motion, and, you know, but what I've learned is it comes down to belief, right? We get whatever we declare and whatever we believe.
Well, unless you're completely inept at building stuff, in which case you find somebody that can help you.
Yeah, I think it's a combination, right? Like God always brings the right people that are smarter than me. And that's been a huge piece of the puzzle for sure.
Wow. All right. So you've gotten some track. I mean, now you've got 15 employees, something like that.
Yeah. So we have facilities in Grand Junction, Colorado. We do manufacturing and assembly in Guadalajara, Mexico, Denver, Colorado, and Cape Town, South Africa. And so
wow,
a lot of that was strategy around, you know, what has been our biggest client for the last 6 years, which is Walmart. And so doing projects for them.
Okay, no, you can't skip past that. So what's the deal with Walmart? What are you doing for them and how did that happen?
Yeah, so, you know, I had an architect call me in 2020, which maybe 2019. And he said he'd seen my product and he said, you know, he said, it's the best volumetric modular building system I've ever seen. I was like taking notes, you know, okay, what does that mean? You know, back then. Yeah. And so from there, he said, has Walmart reached out to you? And I said, no. And he said, I just feel very strongly that they need your product. And
wow. All right. Now I'm going to interrupt you right there. And when I come back to you, we're going to wrap this story up to find out what Walmart is doing with Lada Build. But first I want to let listeners know, again, this is ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast since 2021. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is a podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is John Fay, founder and CEO of Lada Build. I want to thank our sponsors, Via Technologies, and they host ProCo 360's website. They also do a bunch of work to help me around that. They have a great team that attracts really smart customers. The whole idea is if smart customers are your collaborators, you can deliver great service to them. So thanks to Via Technologies. Also want to thank my friends at Denver Ventures. You may know them as Denver Angels. They became Denver Ventures not too long ago, and they've partnered with ProCo 360 to bring me some really interesting emerging companies. And so I thank my friends at Denver Ventures for their partnership. All right. Back to John, the Walmart story. So he said, have you ever done anything for Walmart? They need you. And you said, no.
Said, no, I've never. So he introduced me. I fly out to Bentonville and we start doing projects. So we did all their new projects for vision and optometry centers for a couple of years. We've done pharmaceutical applications. Now we're doing distribution center applications.
Wow. So you're basically, are they using you to reconfigure big boxes into smaller boxes within their stores or within their warehouses?
In some cases, yeah. But the primary applications are what they call tenant improvements. So they have those spaces in the front of the store that usually have like a McDonald's or a Build-A-Bear or a bank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or a vision center. And so we're basically going into an empty space and building out entire sections that normally would take, you know, a month. We'll do it in usually 10 days. So we're typically around 75% faster than stick-built construction, less labor.
Wow, that's cool. And you're not like if they change their mind, they don't throw it out. They don't demo it. They move it to some other application or configuration.
Yep.
So Walmart, like they're a big customer of yours?
They've been our biggest historically. I mean, we've done stuff, you know, other large companies.
Okay. So here's a question for you, which I hope you'll answer, which is of course, Walmart has a reputation for beating down prices so much that companies can barely afford to do business with them. In your case, like you're an emerging startup company, like you can't afford to operate on the cheap like that. Did you have that conversation with them?
They were super gracious, you know, they've been historically, they understand the value. I think they understand the speed. and the benefits, you know, which there's tremendous list of benefits, but they've actually been very gracious. You know, obviously cost is always, you know, a priority, and but they've been really a great partner in allowing for us to grow with them.
That's cool. That's a nice thing to hear. And I mean, do they seem to treat you differently as a, you know, I mean, do they seem to care that you're a startup trying to grow?
Yeah. You know, so we were originally with a department called Walmart Health and Wellness, and they were trying to really change healthcare as we know it. And they had some really cool models, and they made a lot of traction. And then that division actually shut down in 2024. They still have health and wellness, but kind of the stuff that we were doing specific to those applications kind of shifted. And so we moved on for a bit, and then they came back, and now we've been doing distribution center applications.
That's pretty exciting. Really exciting.
So, really fun.
Now you've gotten lots of recognition. You're listed as like a company to watch, Energize Colorado. Is that because, like, why is that? Is it because you're kind of cute that it, you know, it's a novel kind of a thing, or is it something much more interesting?
Well, you know, it's definitely not because I'm cute, but but really, I would say, you know, we're in this segment that is, like we talked about earlier in the podcast, where there's just a void of you know, a technology and standardization and construction that is causing tremendous problems in costs and delays and usability. Yeah.
Is all this patented? I mean, can you patent this notion of using cam locks to create walls?
Yeah. So, well, cam locks create walls is I would say that's not patentable, you know, relatively to what that is. But I would say the utilization, the category we're in, and the design. So we do have utility patents. So those things are definitely patentable. I think I kind of take on the Elon Musk approach with patents. You know, they're only as good as your defense. And, you know, so I just feel like for us, it's just, you know, I feel like we're 10 years ahead of anybody in this category. And so when we were doing this 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago, people thought we were crazy. You know, they would look at me sideways, and now it's becoming more of a standard.
Well, that phrase makes me a little nervous for you. When you say it's becoming more of a standard, what that means to me is that, okay, now others can just do it. Are there competitors yet? You know, cam locking component walls?
They're not one-to-one competitors, but they're coming. And I feel like the market is so massive. We need multiple players. No one entity is going to own the market. It's nearly impossible. So,
yeah. But I mean, do you feel pressure to scale? Do you feel pressure to get investment to, you know, so that you can, you know, take off?
I have off and on historically. And, you know, I've bootstrapped this entire opportunity. I've had investment opportunities, probably well over 100. Some were legit, some were probably less, you know, enticing. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just trying to take it one day at a time. I don't feel like a pressure to go in one particular direction, but I just feel the drive and the passion to continue building the products and building this out in a way that helps people and gives them really good products.
Well, you sound like an awfully nice guy, and I'm worried. I'm worried for you, John, because, like, it's, you know, the companies that are successful just can't stay small. Because these other guys want to come gobble them up. Is that, I mean, maybe that's what'll happen. Some PE company with lots of money will buy, you know, a lot of build or whatever. But I mean, it's hard to stay small and still compete.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. You know, there's so many things that are very difficult in understanding how these systems work and how to make them work. So, you know, we've had amazing partnerships. So we had a partnership with Autodesk, and a company called Cope out of the UK, where we started to work on the computational design software side of how do you build with these products. Got to do some great marketing with Autodesk and go speak at their Autodesk University.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So there's pieces that are happening. And I do feel like we're kind of on this precipice of, you know, how do we scale, because the opportunities are so tremendous. And the needs are so tremendous. So I just think it's a matter of time, but I'm enjoying the ride. I'm not panicking.
That's good. So yeah. I do have a question. Like, okay, now you've got employees in three cities around the world, Grand Junction, you said South Africa somewhere. And well, where's the other
one? Cape Town, South Cape Africa, Town. Mexico, and then
we and in Mexico.
In Westminster. Yeah.
And in Mexico and in South Africa, are they contractors or are they actually employee teams?
It's both. So
really,
we have people on the ground that are a lot of build affiliated directly, mm-hmm. and we have third party contractors that they oversee manufacturing partners for the components.
Well, then you must be doing well enough. I'm glad to hear that you can have employees based in other parts of the world. That's great. I think back on what you must be like. This is a bad assumption, but with a counseling degree, like there aren't a lot of CEOs that have a background in counseling. So like, are you nicer than most? Like to just stop and listen, you know, how does that make you feel? That kind of stuff?
Not necessarily. yeah. You know, I want to get stuff done. You know, I think I've taken on more of a entrepreneur mindset, you know, but I still have, I can still lean back, you know, on those skill sets when I need to. Yeah. But I want to get stuff done. I'm a go-getter. Like, we're trying to build something huge. We're trying to change the way the world builds. So, you know, we're going after big things. Yeah.
Cause it really, at least the stereotypical, and you kind of said this, the stereotypical entrepreneur has a lot different methodology around getting stuff done than somebody who I would perceive as, you know, a counselor. Like they just don't seem the speed and the drive and the energy you have to put into building stuff as an entrepreneur is way, way different, isn't it?
You know, I think, you know, if you were to talk to my wife and ask her like, what am I like? You know, she's one of the things she said, I'm a whale hunter, right? I go after big opportunities. I do big things. I've historically been like that. You know, I ran track at the collegiate level and the pro level in Europe, you know.
Wow.
You know, I've done a lot of, you know, pretty significant things, I think, you know, on my resume, and I'm not here to brag, but I'm built for big things, you know, and I think, you know, there's stereotypes, right, of different occupations, but like, I think I was built to be an entrepreneur, and I think, you know, I thrive on that and in that environment. And yeah, I go after things.
That's cool. You know, what comes to mind when you say that, and I believe you, John, it's just like, what took you so long? Like, is that the way it is for, because you did all these other things first. Why do you think it took you a while to find this path?
You know, I don't know. I think it's God's timing, right? Like for me, I remember when I started this concept and these visions in 2010, you know, I looked at the landscape and I thought, man, either I'm crazy or I'm onto something. You know, so I think it's just timing. You know, you've probably heard of so many companies that had really great ideas. And if you looked at, if they would have done it 10 years later, they probably would have had been wildly successful, you know? Yeah. So it's just the perfect storm, I think. And the time, yeah.
Does it feel like the timing was right for you? I mean, it had this gestation period of several years before you turned it into a business. Does it feel like you hit it right in stride? There's your running metaphor.
I feel like for what I needed, right? I had to prove a lot of things to myself first and gain that confidence. That I could be in this category, you know? So the nice thing about that is, you know, I speak at Stanford occasionally. They have me speak in classrooms, you know, civil engineers, mechanical engineers, you know, and, you know, I'm speaking in Washington, DC next week at the National Institute of Building Sciences, you know, so it's taken me a while to catch up to this category, you know, academically, and kind of have my voice and really understand like what
yeah.
product and how does it fit into this category. But I feel very confident, you know, that the last, you know, 12, 13 years have really prepared me for this.
Well, that's super cool.
Yeah.
You know, you do have to mature into that way of thinking. Yeah. I mean, I remember when I first had my company many years ago, and I was in this CEO peer group, and the first day I went in there, my first thought was like, God, all these guys, women too, men and women, know so much. I'm the only one who doesn't know what I'm doing. Right. And then you come out of there within one meeting. I'm like, God, they're as clueless as I am. You know, it's just,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I was telling my son the other day, you know, it's like, you know, you get to create your own world, you know, relatively speaking. And I told him, because he said, aren't you nervous, Dad, when you go speak at these events? And I said, you know, I used to be, And then I prayed about it one day, and God told me, like, John, I gave you the vision for this. You're the inventor. Like, you know more than anybody. And so when you can be confident when you go and speak about what you're building. And so that was a huge game changer for me a number of years ago.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. You just have to know more about your subject than the rest of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
One other.
So what's cool, next? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I was going to tell you about a really cool product that we're doing. So
please do.
When you look at the 2x4 of the future, right, the number of things you can build is tremendous, and the scope of that. So, you know, one of the companies we're working with is called OnMed, and they're based out of White Plains, New York, and they make what are called medical care stations. And so these medical care stations are basically units that deploy and they get built in a day.
Yeah, we met through OnMed. They're the ones who introduced us.
That's kind of why I wanted to talk about that. Yeah.
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 And so this is a platform for you. You can build these standalone medical centers.
So OnMed came to us in March of 2025 and said, we need help, because they just came from CES and they won all these awards. And they were like, we need to scale this. And so
yeah,
we wrap stuff up. So we're their OEM manufacturer, and they are a great company doing really great things. And they're going to really change the healthcare accessibility for people around the world.
That's cool. And you'll be right at the base of all that, building is a generous word. They're freestanding units, right?
Yeah.
In buildings, on the street, wherever. But that's cool. What else is next for you?
Well, you know, we're always looking at the building market, you know, housing. We're bidding a lot of projects in the U.S. Virgin Islands for rebuilding stuff after the hurricanes, so hospitals, houses.
Yeah, you know, it would be rapid deployment for construction. Yeah,
we're working on some government opportunities that I can't share a whole lot about, and then data center stuff. So we actually have a data center cabinet that's made out of the same products. And so the nice thing about it is it's a cabinet that you can change the sizes over time, and or take 50% of that cabinet and you can put it in any other project that I've discussed today.
Wow, that's super cool. All right, well, I think that's a good place to end on. I mean, I think you're leaving me feeling like the sky's the limit for you guys.
Well, we're having fun.
Yeah, good for you. Well, let's wrap up. I'm Dave Tabor, host of ProCo 360. You've been listening to my conversation with John Fay, founder and CEO of LottaBuild. And John, and by the way, we didn't talk that much about Grand Junction. So before I wrap up, yes, it's great to have you on ProCo 360. I'd like to feature Colorado-based companies. And I said at the beginning, here you are in Grand Junction. So give us a couple quick thoughts about your success based in Grand Junction.
Yes. You know, Grand Junction, I grew up here. My wife grew up here. It's just a wonderful community, you know, for raising kids, especially. And they say West Slope, best slope. No offense.
But I mean, you're finding employees, you're finding support, the whole thing, right?
Yeah. So the Grand Junction Economic Development Team has been just really incredibly supportive for us over here on the Western Slope. They're really proactive and, you know, looking at opportunities, finding what companies need and helping them grow that over here on the Western Slope, and recruiting new companies too. So trying to diversify our workforce over here. You know, love oil and gas, what's necessary, but historically it's ebbed and flowed a lot, and it's been devastating for, I think, the side of the state. And so, you know, creating more of a, you know, kind of a diversified workforce, diversified businesses and opportunities, I think has been really critical.
That's cool. Well, I'm glad we got to cover that, and I almost forgot. I'm glad we did. And you know, when I think of Grand Junction, I think of Enstrom. And yes. You know, not a bad thing to think about, right? But yeah, it's cool that Lotta Build is there. Listeners, glad you're on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. If you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you submit a review in your podcast app. Thanks again to show sponsors, Via Technologies and Denver Ventures. That's the show, Live, Work, Love Colorado.